Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome my many listeners in this country and, of course, throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program four individual and diverse personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And seated on my right is a great pleasure to welcome back that versatile comedian and great stalwart of Just a Minute with his great strength and humor. Would you please welcome Paul Merton? And beside him sits the veteran player of this game with his own individual approach to the show. That is Clement Freud. And seated on my left, we have that exuberant player of the game with his own individual style of performance, Julian Clary. And beside him, we welcome someone who's never played the game before. And she's had the courage to come here and take on these four intrepid players of the game. And that is Pauline McLynn. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Charlotte Davis, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from Greenwich Theatre. So let's get the show started with Paul Merton. Paul, a very topical subject to begin this show from Greenwich. Greenwich Mean Time. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
On the African branch of the World Service, a newsreader once said, "The time is 9 o'clock Greenwich. Meantime, here is the news." And I always think of that when I come to Greenwich, and what a beautiful part of the world it is. I've just walked up to the Royal Observatory, and there you can see the meantime is written across the pavement. Well, I say it's not really particularly the style I meant before. It's more engraved in the floor. And what a wonderful...
Julian challenged.
Thought that was hesitation.
No.
No. I think he was going with style and aplomb, yes. And no, Paul, I disagree. So you get a point for a wrong challenge. You keep the subject. You have 36 seconds still available. Greenwich Mean Time, starting now.
Of course, when...
Clement challenged.
We've had, of course.
No, we haven't.
Oh, we always...
We often have, of course, but
we
he
must
actually
have had,
hasn't said it yet today.
Yeah. Really?
No, really. So, Paul, another incorrect challenge, another point, and 35 seconds starting now.
It came to pass that I was walking through a magnificent open field, and I suddenly thought to myself, how can I divine the longitude, or indeed the latitude, of where I am? And because I was...
Julian, you challenge.
That, I thought, was another hesitation.
That was definitely hesitation. Yes, he was running out of steam.
Absolutely.
So he came to a halt, hesitation. Julian, you take over the subject with a correct challenge and a point. Greenwich Mean Time is with you, and there are 22 seconds available starting now.
It's a cheap thrill to be here in Greenwich, where actually Mean Time emanates from. And I went sniffing around the park.
challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a bit of a stumble there, Julian.
I had to... I had a little phlegm in my throat. That's what it was.
That's what we call hesitation.
Well, the
you're just like a fisherman's friend.
Thank you.
I think on this occasion, Clement, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt, and maybe I'll redress it later on when in your favour somehow or other. We won't allow it this time, Julian. You keep the subject. You have 15 seconds, Greenwich Mean Time, starting now.
In that lovely green expanse, could I find the little egg that ticks, tocks away from which Greenwich Mean Time throbs? I couldn't. I asked a policeman.
Paul challenged.
Does Greenwich Mean Time throb from an egg? Does it that how it works? Is
when
it a throbbing egg?
Now we're never going to find out.
I mean, just justify what you've said here. How can you tick away?
I think throbbing is a kind of rhythmical thing, much like a metronome. Therefore, it's a useful tool to use when describing time.
But where does
a
the
throbbing
egg come in? Where does the egg come in, though?
I'll tell you where the egg comes in, if I can have the
Well, you're going to get the benefit of the doubt a second time, Julian.
Well,
another point and 5 seconds starting now.
Not everyone knows, but under that great big copper dome is a thing that I mentioned before.
Paul, you challenged first.
It was hesitation.
It was a hesitation. You got in with half a second to go. And you have Greenwich Mean Time starting now.
1500!
And in this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton. So at the end of that round, he has a lead over everybody else. Julian's in second place. Pauline and Clement have yet to score. And Pauline, lovely to hear from you.
Well, I'm officially terrified now. That first round was vicious.
I know. Don't worry, darling. I'm here to help you. The subject is wine. I'm sure you know something about it. Will you talk on that subject? Why are you laughing?
Is that my brother laughing? It is, isn't it?
60 seconds starting now.
I like a glass of wine, as anybody who is my friend can tell you. But I am a little worried about my love of wine, because they say that in vino veritas, that is not the case when it comes to me. When I've had too much wine, Pauline shuts down and a woman called Rachel takes over. Now, I don't know who this person is, but she says things that I don't agree with. She is ruining my life, and she has got to go. I suppose the thing would be that if I could practice moderation while drinking my wine, I wouldn't have this problem. But it seems to me that wine is one of those things that you should enjoy with a meal, or perhaps a special occasion like a wedding or a funeral or a christening. And
Clement is challenged.
They wear rather a lot of oars.
Yes. But you did go magnificently for 48 seconds.
Oh!
So as it's her first time on the show, let's give her a bonus point for doing that. No, Clement.
Let her go on.
She's got a point, and you've had a legitimate challenge, so you've got 12 seconds. Wine starting now.
The wine waiter, when I asked for what I should have with my pudding, said, "We have an Alsatian Gewürztraminer Trockenbeeren Auslese, 1993. So I decided that would be...
On this occasion, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now equal with Julian Clare in second place. Paul's in the lead, and Pauline has also scored. So,
We were.
She's got some points, so I should have said. Julian, will you take the next round? The subject now... hoodies. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
I always wear my hood pulled up, if you know what I'm saying. And I went down to the supermarket the other day and I was refused entry. No hoodies in here, they said. I said, I'm not some ruffian. I'm a celebrity, merely trying to go about my business and get in a few bits and pieces before it gets dark without causing undue attention drawn to myself. You see, there's a lot of fear about hoodies, and I, for one, am standing up for them. Young people get cold just like anybody else, and they want to have a bit of fur.
Paul, challenge.
Well, it was a hesitation.
It was a little hesitation there. Mm.
You're not allowed to inhale in this game.
Yes, there's no rule that says no breathing.
Listen, I know, but you see, one has to make those difficult judgments, and the audiences are utterly prejudiced against anyone who's their favourite at that particular moment. You were their favourite in the last round, Julian's in this round, and Paul, he might win the favouritism over to him on this one, as he takes over the subject with a point, and 30 seconds on hoodies are starting now.
Hoodies are like shreddies, and there's not so much fibre in them. What you do is you pour them into a bowl, put the milk on them, marvellous breakfast, it's wonderful, it's made out of anorak and cheesecloth. Beautiful, beautiful.
So, Julian, you challenge first.
That was a hesitation.
Yes,
no, it wasn't.
It was repetition.
Repetition. Yes, yes, repetition.
Of course. Yeah. And you've got another point for that, and you have another 19 seconds on hoodies starting now.
There's a lady in about row 10 wearing a purple hat, and you see, if you tried to go into the supermarket that I went into, but no one's noticed, I've repeated.
Paul, challenge.
Repetition of supermarket.
Oh. Yes. You did go into the supermarket.
I know, I'm not going to deny it.
Right. I know people like to argue with me. 10 seconds are still available, Paul. Tell us more about hoodies starting now.
I went into the supermarket the other day and I was rather astonished to see this elaborate sign above the door. There, in big red letters, as bold as you please, it said, "You are not allowed to come in."
Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went. Gain that extra point. And he has increased his lead at the end of that round ahead of Julian Clary, Clement Freud and Pauline McLean in that order. And, Clement, will you take the next round? The subject is jockeying for position. Would you like to talk on that subject in this game, starting now?
Jockeying for position is what one does in the immigration queue almost at any airport in the United States. The important thing is try not to get behind a Puerto Rican, because it takes such a very long time. So when you're in a queue...
Pauline, what is your challenge?
A repetition of the word queue.
Yes, that's right. Well done. So, Pauline, you're listening well. You've got a point. You have the subject, and you have 43 seconds jockeying for position, starting now.
As a member of one of the races of the world who have populated other countries, I have to say that I'm thoroughly in favour of jockeying for position in any immigration line. It's true that the Irish built the world, and of course Shakespeare was one of ours as well, in case you didn't know. And we do like to jockey for position while claiming him. So I think that the Irish are to be lauded, really.
Clement Charles.
Oh!
Oh! You recognise
no,
it?
No, whatever it was, no.
Yes.
Repetition of
the Irish. Yes, you brought the Irish in just a little bit too much.
The Irish problem.
And a point to you, Clement. 19 seconds, jockeying for position, starting now.
Positioning for jockeys is really the important thing. In any flat race, you have to choose because it's drawn by the jockey club before. I said jockey twice.
I know. And Paul, you challenge first.
Position jockey.
9 seconds. Jockeying for position, starting now.
And they're coming up on the far side, and it's Lucky Boy, followed by Mr. T, and that's how the horse...
Clement challenge.
3 hands.
Oh. Oh, really, no. It's a correct challenge, so within the rules of just a minute, I have to give it to you, but you'll get no more benefits of the doubt, and... And do watch it, Clement, but you have the point. And 5 seconds on jockeying for position, starting now.
Outside any church or synagogue or abbey or cathedral.
A Julian challenge. Hoisted on your own petard.
Yep.
Julian, your challenge, please.
Horrible repetition of awe.
I mean, yes.
Outrageous.
Julian, you had a correct challenge of all, and you have 1/2 a second to go.
You see, Paul.
So, you were speaking when the whistle went, Julian, and you got that extra point. Just 1 point behind our leader, Paul Merton, and just ahead of the other two. And, Pauline, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject now is the best thing about cats. I don't know whether you're a cat person or not, but tell us something about them in this game, starting now.
The best thing about cats, it seems to me, is that we can learn a lot from them. They have much to offer us in the way of how to manipulate a person. I think they're practically as good as the Catholic Church at getting people to do things for them for nothing. For instance, I learned a very interesting thing from my grey cat last week. As you may know, there's a crisis in the health service, and she got very ill, so I rushed her to the vet, who then took her immediately into surgery, no waiting on trolleys for her. So I...
Julian challenged.
There were 3 hers.
Oh. She's a she-cat. I can't deny her sexuality.
I'm going to be generous here and say, as Pauline hasn't played the game before, but you do have to watch it because they're very sharp, as you see.
They are, they're vicious.
So Julian gets a point because it was a correct challenge, but Pauline keeps the subject and carries on with the best thing about cats, starting now.
I'm sure that if I presented myself to the vet and said, I have learned a lot from my cat...
Paul challenge.
We had vet before.
You had the vet before. 26 seconds. Tell us something about the best thing about cats, starting now.
Chessington Zoo has got a special place for the big cat, and if you go there, you'll see lions, tigers, leopards, cheetahs, pumas, tabbies, all sorts are there. And you go and ask the staff what they feed them on, and they say, well...
Julian challenge.
Well, he's not telling us what the best thing is about cats. He's just rambling on.
I concur.
That's an interesting thing, yes.
Isn't it, yeah?
It is, that's right. He's just giving us a list of all the things at Chessington Zoo. Not necessarily the best thing about it. So I think that was well thought out, Julian.
Thank you. Deviation.
Yes. And you have a point for that. 13 seconds still available. The best thing about cats, starting now.
The best thing about cats is when they want to go to the lavatory, they dig a little hole and they position themselves...
Paul challenge.
That's not great if you live in a flat. Terrible. Dig a little hole. Best thing about cats, deviation. The terrible thing about cats is not the best thing about cats. Did I mention the best thing about cats at all? Deviation.
No. Give Paul a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption. Julian, you still have the subject. And a point for being interrupted. 8 seconds, the best thing about cats, starting now.
Down drops the effluence, and then with their paw, they cover it up and go about their business, and no one's any the wiser. I think...
And a Paul challenge.
Well, I think we're all the wiser now, aren't we?
Yeah, but within the world of the cat...
Is that really the best thing about cats?
I think it's one of the best things about cats.
Do you?
They're much more hygienic than dogs.
Oh, OK.
So, Paul, another bonus point to Paul, because they enjoyed what he said. You have a point because you were interrupted, and you have 3 seconds. The best thing about cats, starting now.
Whether or not that's hygienic, I don't know. Depends whether...
Clement challenged.
We've had hygienic.
No, I said hygienic, he didn't.
Well, that's it.
No, so you didn't say hygienic,
did
you?
I didn't know you did.
No, that's right.
Picked up on your thoughts.
So you've got another point, and you've got 1 second on the best thing about cats, starting now.
Washing their hands is...
So, the best thing about cats... All that talk about cats has really set Julian alight, hasn't it? And he's moved forward, getting one when the whistle went, and he's now in a strong lead ahead of Paul Merton, even stronger against Clement Freud and Pauline McLynn. And Julian, it's also your turn to begin. The subject is my roots. Tell us something about my roots. You can take it whichever way you like, starting now.
I am a natural blonde, but every 6 years...
When did you become a natural blonde?
Just so, born this
deviation,
way.
Deviation. Not a natural blonde, Nicholas. You know that, don't you? He does, he knows that.
If I was to say that, it would look as if I knew Julian too intimately, and I'm sure that you were born a natural blonde. Is that right?
I was.
I'm sure of it. So, you have... an interruption, and you still have my roots, and you have 58 seconds starting now.
I go to a lovely woman called Katrina, who, funnily enough, is from Germany, which brings us to the other meaning of my roots, because I recently did a programme called Who Do You Think You Are? And fancy, I'm a Kraut. Well, I didn't have the faintest idea. I had to go to my mother and break the news. I said, it's not as if I'm saying, look, I'm sorry, I'm heterosexual. It wasn't that bad. But that is where...
Clement challenged.
Hesitation. There was hesitation about... Yes.
I was just getting into character.
I know. So, Clement, you have the subject of my roots, and you have 35 seconds starting now.
I'm trying to remember what my roots were. I think roughly dark brown with the odd grey patch. And then there came a time... I've never lost any hair. I have kept every one that has come out. I happen to be bald. If this were television, that would be an entirely unnecessary statement to make. But my roots on a family... basis side.
Julian challenged.
Oh, I thought he hesitated.
He did hesitate just then. He did, yes. And my roots is with you, and there are 12 seconds available starting now.
Turns out my great-grandmother got married in Deptford, which is just down the road, and then looking at birth certificates, we found out that she was 6 months up the duff when she waddled down the aisle.
So, Julian Clary was again speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point. And with others in the round, he has increased his lead over the other three. And we move to Clement Freud and a fairly topical subject here, the cutty sark. Tell us something about the cutty sark, Clement, in this game, starting now.
The cutty sark is a clipper, and like most ships of that name, it was made, invented in the late 19th century, I think 1870s probably. And I was at school in Devon and went to Falmouth and saw the cutty sark, which then was famed for getting from Sydney to London in 75 days, which was incredibly fast, because there was then no London Underground or other means of getting from one place to another. The cutty sark.
Paul, you challenge.
That was a long sort of deviation from English language, long pronunciation of the, so deviation from English language as normally pronounced. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
The.
Well, he was going so.
You can't go the and the word goes on forever.
But it was. He's been working for his benefit throughout this show. He's got another benefit of the doubt. You have 25 seconds, Clement, and try and go a bit quicker if you can. The Cutty Sark, starting now.
There are some people who refer to the Cutty Sark as the Cutty Sark.
Paul Challenge.
Deviation. He didn't go the Cutty Sark. He went the Cutty Sark like normal people do.
So that was deviation.
Deviation from how he normally pronounces the. I'm not letting it go, am I?
No. Give Paul a bonus point. He deserves it for that. Clement still has a subject and a point. Cut the Cutty Sark. Still
and
with you, point. Clement. 22 seconds, starting now.
The Cutty Sark. That's what Paul wants me to call it. It is now.
Paul Challenge.
Is the on the card?
Yes.
Oh, never mind.
Another point for Clement. 19 seconds, the Cutty Sark, Clement, starting now.
I understand the Cutty Sark is now in Greenwich, and I'm very pleased to be here because meantime is what I know this suburb of London.
Paul, yes.
A bit of hesitation there.
Yeah, there was definitely hesitation there, Paul. 10 seconds are still available. Tell us something about the Cutty Sark, starting now.
Yes, it's wonderful to be able to play this game of Just a Minute, just in the shadow of the great Cutty Sark. Who can forget the olden days when we looked...
Clement challenged.
There's no shadow at night.
It's not dark, and also you get moon shadows.
And I was about to say, if it's in moonlight, you get lovely moon shadows.
Yeah, exactly.
So you
said
can have
that.
Shadows at any time. Anyway, you have 2 seconds on the Cutty Sark, starting now.
The Cutty Sark! When you hear that name, you think to yourself, I'm proud to be British!
Right, so Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's creeping up on our leader, Julian Clary. Julian's still in the lead, and then it's Paul Merton and Clement Freud in that order, and then Pauline McLinn, and... Oh, Paul, it's your turn to begin. Oh, an acid tongue. It happens a lot in this show, doesn't it? Tell us something about the subject in this game, starting now.
An acid tongue is easily rectified by having something sweet. There's no point in being acid in your comments because people will come to hate you. Instead, spread lightness everywhere you go. Look at Nicholas Parsons. We could make acid comments about him, but no, we tend to think of him as a lovely, charming institution. Shows you...
Clement Freud, I know
I
what you're going
to say.
He doesn't, no, he doesn't.
I think you're utterly mean to applaud that.
Honest.
But I show you how fair and generous I am, because you did applaud him, and he got a good joke. Clement can have a bonus point. But it was an incorrect challenge. And, Paul, you keep the subject, and you've got another point, of course. 42 seconds, an acid tongue, starting now.
When I was younger, I didn't care what I said to people, and consequently, I had very few friends. But under the close guidance of this...
Julian challenged.
It was repetition of people.
When did he say people before?
Earlier on, before Clement interrupted him.
Correct okay. Challenge. 36 seconds, an acid tongue, starting now.
If after this recording I said to Paul, let's go for a walk in the moonlight, his acid tongue would...
Paul would challenge.
It was a bit of sort of deviation
it
there.
It was a bit,
slip
yes,
up, wasn't
a bit,
it?
A bit of a slip-up.
You know, just a
it's
tiny
back
one.
With you, Paul.
Not much, but
31
stunning.
Seconds, an acid tongue, starting now.
I remember one teacher said to me at school...
Pauline challenge.
I just think he made an arse of the word me there. So, does that mean hesitation or deviation?
He did do that, but he didn't actually... Actually, it was an incorrect challenge, my darling. But we'll give her a bonus point because she was...
I'm so far behind, you might as well.
Darling, it doesn't matter about the points. It's your contribution.
No,
so
the
important.
Winning is everything.
Give her another point for that line. Paul, 29 seconds, an acid tongue, starting now.
If you remember, Kenneth Williams wrote a book called Acid Drops, and very popular it was too, full of show business anecdotes and theatrical stories relating where somebody with an acid tongue has said something which has made somebody else look a little bit...
Clement challenge.
Some.
So 15 seconds, Clement, on an acid tongue, starting now.
Go to a butcher and buy a tongue and pickle it in vinegar, salt, shallots, onions, chili peppers, turmeric, juniper berries, Cumberland salt.
So Clement Freud, speaking as a whistle, went gained that extra point. He's moved forward. And we are actually moving into the final round. Out in the lead... is Julian Clary, But he's only 4 points ahead of Paul Merton. Then trailing a little is Clement Freud. In fourth place is Pauline McLean. But she hasn't played the game before. She's given great contribution. And she's going to take the final round. Pauline, the subject is pop. Tell us something about pop in this game, starting now.
Pop is the sound that the weasel makes when he goes. Pop is the sound of champagne.
Julian Charles.
Oh! Sorry.
Yeah. It was a repetition of sound, sadly.
It has the sound, yes. It's the last round, and she hasn't played the game before. Can we be generous to her?
Don't.
The audience would love it, wouldn't they? Yeah. And you're in the lead, strongly there. 53 seconds, Pauline, for On the Pop, starting now.
Pop is the music I grew up with. I'm sorry. Oh!
Well, she had a general breakdown.
So Julian takes it on this occasion. A point to Julian. 50 seconds, Julian. Pop, starting now.
I've always been a huge fan of Blazing Squad, and I think their particular brand of music comes in the category of pop. It's finger-snapping, toe-tapping, and you can sing along at the top of your voice in the bathroom, which is what I do. I don't have a particularly fine voice, but then nor do they. So it blends in. And if you ask me to name any of their particular hits right now, I think...
Pauline Challenge.
The repeat of the word particular?
He did repeat particular.
Yes.
26 seconds on pop, starting now.
I was delighted to see Tony Christie's pop classic Show Me the Way to Amarillo go to number one recently, but I have to tell you that I am old enough to remember it when it first came out. I bought that record, and yes, in those days, it wasn't a CD, but a 45. I sang along, happy as the day was going, because I loved that tune, and...
So Pauline McLean, speaking as the whistle went, gained that well-deserved extra point, and the audience obviously delighted that you did.
But can smell my fear from where they are.
But I have to tell you, in the final analysis of things, you didn't get a lot of points, but you gave a... But you did give a fine contribution, for which we're grateful. Clement Freud gave his usual contribution, and coming in third place... Paul Merton gave his excellent contribution, but finished up in second place. But out in the lead, 6 points ahead of everybody else, was Julian Clary. So this week, Julian, you're our winner. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Julian Clary, Pauline McLean and Clement Freud. I also thank Charlotte Davis, who's helped me with the score. She'd blown a whistle when the 60 seconds was up. We thank our producer-director, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're grateful to this lovely audience here at Greenwich Theatre, who've cheered us on our way. But from our panel, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, tune in. We'll be the next time we play Just a Minute. Until then, goodbye.
And there'll be more from Just a Minute next week.